chapter 6 and 7 today. So you can go ahead and take your Bibles and turn on over there. Job chapter 6 and 7. Job chapter 6 and verse 1. Job is answering back, by the way, to what Eliphaz the Temanite has told him and the accusations that were put forth there. All right. Job answered and said, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea, therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit, and the terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch, or as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. Even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow, and let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? What is mine end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones? Is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me? To him that is afflicted, pity should be shewed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tema looked. The companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped, and they came thither and were ashamed. For now ye are nothing. Ye see my casting down and are afraid. Did I say, bring unto me, or give a reward for me of your substance? Or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? Teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words! But what doth your arguing reprove? Do ye imagine to reprove words in the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as the wind? Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless, and ye dig a pit for your friend. Now therefore be content, and look upon me, for it is evident unto you if I lie. Return, I pray you, and let it not be iniquity. Yea, return again, my righteousness is in it. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth, or not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore I will not refrain my mouth, I will speak in the anguish of my spirit, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest to watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than life. I loathe it. I would not live alway. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him? and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning, and try him every moment. How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now I shall sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Now, Father, thank you for the word of God that we've read. Now, help me to be a blessing and help us to see it and rightly divide it and understand it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Job is beginning to answer all the accusations against him that were put there by Eliphaz the Temanite. And I'm not going to take the time to go back and go over all of those. But we looked at this last time, and we kind of looked at some of the errors that Eliphaz put out. We're going to see more as we go on. But Job is answering that. And in verse 1, you know, he verse 1 and verse 2, Job says, you know, he said that, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together, for now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea, therefore my words are swallowed up." And he desires that his grief would be weighed against his calamity, because they're looking at him and saying, "Well, you know, this came and touched you, and you've fallen apart, right? And you're talking about a man who's just lost all his children. He's lost his health. He's lost all his wealth, his possessions. He's bereaved of all everybody in his family except his wife. His rest of his kinfolk haven't even come to help him yet. And here he is, and he's now in the poorhouse, and he's physically just boils top to bottom. He says later that his skin is loathsome, and he talks about that, and they're there, and they, you know, their idea is like, "Well, you know, here you are, you, when other people were in bad shape, you helped them out and everything, and now it's touched you and you've fallen apart." And he's saying, "Look, I just wish you would weigh my grief against my calamity and see that, hey, I have a reason to be distraught about this. I have a reason to be this way." I mean, and there's a healthy side to that, and there's an unhealthy side of that. I mean, if all you do is focus on your calamity, you're going to have trouble. But to understand that, you know, when people are hurting, it's not make-believe. When people have suffered tragedies, and their pain and their grief is not make-believe, it's real. And so we have to understand that. And you know, the big thing too is when people get into that case, a lot of times it's difficult to understand their grief, and it's also difficult for them to express it because there's no way to do it. But there's one that knows exactly, right? That understands. God understands and God sees it as it truly is. That's why we ought to go to him. And so Job begins to contend that his grief is justified. Notice what he says in verse 5. He says, "Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder?" If you've done anything with cows or anything like that, if you ever worked any cattle or been around cattle, when they are being fed and they're eating, they don't make much noise. But when they're waiting to eat, they'll make a racket, right? You go out there, once they get the idea and they see that farmer is their feed, and just like we were raising those hogs, you couldn't hardly hear them. But I'll tell you what, when they heard me moving around, they made some noise. And that's what he's saying. He's saying there's a cause. It's a lot like what David said when he was dealing with talking about his indignation about Goliath. Is there not a cause, boys? Boys, get back where you belong and stay there, please, thank you. And so he's saying, I'm not doing this because I don't have a cause to complain, a cause to have grief. And he uses that as the point. And here he is, he says, can that which is unsaved be eaten without salt? Is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. I mean, he's poor, he's bereaved, he's sick. And now he's a point where he's relying on things that before he would have turned his nose up at. He would have refused. And you know, he once had the best of this world in worldly life, in health, in comfort, in food, in friendship. Now he's poor, he's sick, he's bereaved. And the friends that were around him, instead of they were happy to rejoice with him, and now they kind of turned on him, hadn't they? And so now he's like, everything that I have, I don't really have anything anymore. But you know, the amazing thing about it is that he looks at this and he, in verse 8 and 9, he says, oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, and they would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. You know, Job is at the point of believing the best thing that could happen to me is to die. I just wish I could die. He's like many sorrowful people. He thinks this is the only option. He can't see a path that would lead back to joy and peace besides leaving this world. He's at the point where saying, well, man, I'm just at the point I'd rather die. I just want to go be with the Lord. But there's one thing about him. He does not ever give up to God, because throughout all of this, who is he talking to? He's not just talking to his friends. He's talking to the Lord. And that's something that we ought to learn from this, and we ought to take from this, is that even when things get bad, don't stop talking to God. That's what a lot of people do. A lot of people quit casting their care upon the Lord, even though he tells us to. And Job is still saying, Lord, I don't know. And you might say, well, I wouldn't want to say what Job is saying to God. Well, it's better to talk to God and talk to him than turn your back on him, don't you think? And I don't know how you figured that, you know, your somehow your grief and your pain were more than God could handle. He's already borne it on the cross, hadn't he? And so pour out your heart to God. When trouble comes, when difficulty comes, we ought to learn to just call upon the Lord and just keep seeking after God. And this is one thing you'll see about Job. He doesn't quit talking to God and asking questions of God. And he said, he's not afraid of death. He knows that the next world is better than this one. Job is still exercising faith in God's promises. He's at that point to where he wants God to end his earthly life and take him home. He can't see what God can do in the future. He can only see, he can't see past his grief. He's in that point. And there is something for us to learn there as well. All right, you may be in a bad situation, you might be in a bad problem, and things might look terrible now, but you can't see the future. You don't know what God's going to do in the future. Job is in a point where he doesn't know the end of the book yet. He doesn't know that he's going to have more children. He doesn't know that his wealth is going to be restored to him. He doesn't know that his health is going to be restored to him. He doesn't know that he's going to live to see not just his grandchildren, but his great-grandchildren. He doesn't understand that yet. He can't see. But God has given us this book so that we can see beyond. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important to just, especially when things are bad, keep reading and studying the Word of God. There's answers there. There's things, there's hope, there's encouragement, there's what we need. But so often we can't do that. He goes on and he keeps talking about these things. And then an interesting thing here in verse 14, after Job is talking about, I don't have any strength and everything like that, he says this. He says, to him that is afflicted, pity should be shewed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. Job equates, God through Job equates a lack of compassion with departing from the fear of God. And you know, when somebody's hurting, it's a tedious thing to have to deal with folks. But when we lose compassion, let me ask you a question. Do you want God to lose compassion for you? No. No, God doesn't lose compassion. God's compassionate towards us. And so the thing is, we need to not lose compassion for those that are hurting. By the way, I'll say another thing about this. If you ever have to deal with somebody who's contemplating suicide, this is a good place to go. To show them that, look, you don't know what the future's going to hold. Job was hurting like you're hurting. Job had lost everything. But when we, by the time we get to the end of the book, not only does Job come out as a better person, but God blesses his latter end more than his former end. You don't know what's going to happen. Job just wants to go to heaven. And maybe that's the end. I mean, it might be that God relieves your suffering by going to heaven, but it's not your choice. It's our job to trust him. It's our job to serve him where we are and however we are. And so he asked the question. He said, he says, my brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, as a stream of brooks. They pass away, which are black by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is held. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tima looked. The companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped, and they came thither and were ashamed. And he talks about his being forsaken by his brethren, that nobody's come to help him of his family. He's like, they've just vanished, just like ice. And then he says, for now you're nothing. You see my casting down and are afraid. And a lot of times we don't want to be around people that are hurting because we're kind of afraid of them. Kind of afraid, almost like we're afraid it's going to rub off. We don't want to get down in that dirt and have to deal with what they have to deal with. And Job is talking to them, and he says, did I say, bring unto me, or give me a reward of your substance, or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? He said, have I sat here and asked you to take care of me? Have I sitting there trying to get stuff from you? I'm not doing that. He says to them also, he says, teach me and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? Do you imagine to reprove the words and speeches of one who is desperate, which are as the wind? Yeah, you overwhelm the fatherless. And you dig a pit for your friend. Now therefore be content. Look upon me, for it is evident unto you if I lie. He's saying you're saying all these things against me. Well, show me where I've erred. Teach me. I mean, have I been asking you to fix this? Have I been asking you to give me something? Have I been asking you for this? I mean, you're sitting here, I'm in my grief and you're arguing with me. What does your arguing reprove? You can see I'm desperate. Sometimes the best thing to do is just try to be a comfort. And once again, I'll say that we don't know a lot of things. You know, that's one of the problems we have in our culture today. You see the same thing. Well, all the things that are going over of the attempted assassination, and everybody's gums are flapping and nobody knows anything, right? And we do that to people that are hurting. We make up our mind, we try to figure out what's wrong, and we're going to fix it and whatever thing. But, you know, it's not often, unless you're an eyewitness to something, we should never make assumptions, right? You know, you want to give people wise counsel, but you don't want to sit there and make assumptions. And he asked them, he said, is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? He said, I'm just as understanding of Scripture as you are. I understand what's going on here. And then he says something. He says, is there not an appointed time to man on the earth? There's days, or not his days also like the days of an hireling? And Job understands it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. But he's sitting there and he's talking about his life, and he says, is there not an appointed time to man on the earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as the hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. He understands that. Job, you know, a hired servant has two things that he looks forward to. He looks forward to rest, and he looks forward to payday. You know, we look for if you're working a job, you go out and work a hard day, you want to come home and you want to rest. You want to have a rest period. Right? Job feels like he's not getting any rest. He's like a hireling. And then you want that payday. You've labored for so long and you want the reward of your wages. And we look forward to a heavenly payday, don't we? And Job's looking forward to that. He's like that. But he says, I'm made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I'm full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. And he says, oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall see no more good. Shall no more see good, excuse me. Job believes his life is surely at an end. He can't see a reason to prolong it any longer. He just desires that God would allow him to die. He can't see what's to come. Like we so often do, he's judging by his current circumstance. Isn't that what we do? We get our current circumstance and we think, well, this is it, you know. That's all we see. We judge everything. But you know, the Bible tells us to judge nothing before the time. We're not even supposed to say, you know, today or tomorrow we're going to go in such a city and get gain. The Bible says all such boasting is evil. All right? And we're to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that, right? And that's kind of where he's at. And this is the type of grief, once you get to that point where you're just certain you're not going to see anything good. If you get to that point, this is the point where many people quit on God and quit on life. And this is where a lot of people go to suicide. The sorrow of the world worketh death. And many people get to that point. Job didn't get there. He wants to die. He wants to go to heaven, but he's not going to lift his hand to do it. He's saying, God, look, if this is it, just be merciful to me. Let me die now. I want to be with you. I don't want to be here. I hurt. I'm in pain. I'm sorrowful. Life is all the things I lived for are gone. I'm sure Job also probably felt compassion for his wife, even though she had told him to curse God and die. My assumption is his wife is trying to help him and taking care of him. And I've seen many people who are terminally ill, they just wish for an end so that their family would stop suffering and having to labor and take care of things. And that's all the type of stuff I've seen that before. I've had people tell me, "Preacher, I wish I could just go on and go be with the Lord, and I wouldn't be such a difficulty and a burden to my family and them to have to go through all that they're having to go through." And that's the way it is. But some people get to the point of despair because they can't see what, you know, God's going to do in the future. But think of all the good that Job would have missed if he'd allowed himself to be consumed by his grief and stop seeking the Lord. We read to the end of the book, think of everything Job would have missed if he'd have given in to his grief and stopped seeking the Lord. You know, he believes, if you look at what he says as he goes on and speaks, he says, verse 9, he says, the cloud, chapter 7, verse 9, as the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. And he figures that all he has left in the world is the grief that he's bearing. But he said, I'm going to complain. I'm going to keep talking. Regardless what his friends thought, he was going to keep complaining and calling on the Lord and asking God, "God, help me understand. God, give me rest. Give me mercy. If that's what it takes to get me through this, Lord, take me home." He didn't quit on God, and that's an amazing thing. I think a lot of times we miss that when we're reading it. He's in a lot of anguish, but he didn't quit on God. And I don't know where you are, but I just want to encourage you, don't quit on God. Things in the world get tough a lot of times, and they may get tougher still as things go on. I mean, we're looking at our culture today, and we don't know where we're going. Everybody's afraid of what's going to happen if things don't change. People are talking about losing our liberties and all these different types of things like that. We don't know what the world's going to be, but one thing we've got to be solid and rock solid on, regardless what anybody says, regardless what anybody does, we need to continue to seek the Lord. You know, all Job can see is his grief right now. He doesn't understand what's going on. He just wants to die. And his friends are telling him that he must be an evil, wicked sinner for this to come upon him. His children must have been evil, wicked sinners and everything like that. And he's just, now he's having to deal with that. But he says, "I don't care what you folks think. I'm going to keep seeking the Lord. I'm going to keep complaining to God. I'm going to keep after it until I get an answer." And Job, if we go on, he talks about this. He said, "Am I a sea or a well that thou settest to watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooseth death, chooseth strangling and death rather than life. I loathe it, I would not live alway. Let me alone, for my days are vanity." Then he asks the question, he says, "What is man that thou shouldest magnify him and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? And that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment." That's a question. That's a question that goes to the very heart of man's condition and God's mercy. Why does God even bother with us, right? Without the hope of redemption, we've got nothing. We have no worth. We don't deserve God's mercy. We don't deserve his intervention, yet he did it and offers it freely. That's an amazing thing. That question is asked to get Job 15:14. "What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of woman that he should be righteous?" Psalm 8:4. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Psalm 144 and verse 3, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? What is man? Why does God bother? We don't see it, but there's one thing we can be certain of, and that goes to the preaching this morning about what we're supposed to be doing and what we should believe that is good and acceptable in the sight of God, and things that we should delight in that regard. We don't see it, but we can be certain that God is dealing with men daily. The Bible makes it clear. You know, Jesus said that the Spirit would come, he would reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go unto my Father, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The Spirit of God is dealing with men of this world as it is now. We've saw how important our prayer is in our requesting and making intercession for people, that God would deal with their hearts, and how we can have a part of that. We don't see it, but we can be certain that God is dealing with men daily, especially those that are believers, but also those that are unbelievers. So the bottom line is, we should never quit preaching the gospel, and we should never act like God is idle. What is man? We're not much. Psalm 7 and verse 9, O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. Psalm 11 verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Proverbs 17, 3, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but as God which trieth our hearts. There he is. We look at this, and we walk down there, and we see this, and he asks the question, what is man? And that you should visit him every morning and try him every morning. Why is God even involved with us? Why does he even care about us? And we see that God's still working, God's laboring, God's doing his work. He's never going to quit. He doesn't slumber, he doesn't sleep. He tries the reins and the heart. It's over and over in there. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Again and again and again in the scripture, we have to see that. And Job is talking about that, and he asked the question, because he's at the point of, I don't even know why you're bothering me anymore. Just kill me. Just be done with it. He said, how long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? He said, Lord, just let me die. And then we get to verse 20. And all of a sudden, Job, after maintaining his innocence all this time, right? He's been accused and he's maintained his innocence. He said, tell me where I've erred. You show me my sin. You show me what I did to deserve this. You show me, he tells his friends and everything. It's evident to you if I'm lying. You got all the facts before you. You explain this to me. You show me where I've sinned. But now, in verse 20, he said, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? Job understands that he is a sinner who deserves God's judgment. But he knows that he's been walking uprightly and living by faith. He knows this. He sees this. He understands it. He understands that, hey, like I've said up here, if there's anybody in the world that I know deserves to go to hell, it's me. I mean, I deserve God's judgment. I know that. And I'm so thankful for his mercy. And I'm thankful for his salvation through faith in Christ. But Job knows that he's a sinner. He knows he deserves God's judgment. He acknowledges the fact, look, I'm not pure in my own eyes. I'm not this. I'm just telling you, I didn't do anything to cause this. I was living a life of faith. I was trusting God. His friends believe he's hiding some great sin and he's unrepentant. And so he's in a battle. He knows this. He wants to call on God. While he's calling on God is in complaint, his friends are attacking him. Job acknowledges that God sees even the most secret of men's thoughts and actions. And he's still seeking pardon. He's like, Lord, if I'm wrong here, just show me. Just show me. He said, why dost thou not pardon my transgression? Take away mine iniquity. For now I shall sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Psalm 90, verse 8 says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. When we look at the nature of God, Job understands the nature of God. He understands that God can see what man can't see. He understands that, yes, he's not perfect. He understands all that, but he also understands that he's living by faith, that he's been trusting God, that he's been believing God. And so that's why he's in such a state. And a lot of times we get that way. And what the devil wants to do, and remember, the whole point of this whole exercise was the devil saying, God, if you take your hand of protection away from his possessions and everything that he has, he'll curse you to his face. Oh, but you didn't put your hand on him. If you put your hand on him, he'll curse you to your face, right? The whole point of this is the devil is trying to get Job to curse God to his face, to turn his back upon God, and Job is not doing it. The devil is even using his friends to attack him. Job understands there's more to it. He's hurt and he wants to die. He wants to go to heaven. He's not going to lift his hand against himself. He can't see any good except in heaven. That's all he can see. But here's the reality. We don't know what's going on. We don't know how things are going to change. Whatever it is, settle down. Whatever it is that's going on in your life right now, you see only what you can see, but you can't see what God may do tomorrow. I can't tell you you're going to have the latter end of Job in the sense of in this world. When we get to heaven, everything's going to be perfect, right? All sickness is going to be gone. Job understands that. He wants that. I can't tell you you're not going to suffer. All I can tell you is, regardless of what happens down here, God sees, God knows, God understands. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And our job is just to trust Him. And Job hasn't stopped trusting God yet. A lot of times we read this and we filter it and we miss the points where Job is pleading with God to help him. He hasn't given up on God at all. He just doesn't understand what's going on. He's just weak in the flesh, and that's all he is. But yet, even though he's weak in the flesh, he's not cussing the people. He's not being ugly to folks. He's being honest with them. He's like, you're attacking me, and you know, you should be showing pity to me. You guys are forsaking the fear of God. I don't know what the problem is, why you're that way. But the point being is, you should be showing me some compassion, but you're not. And he said, all you got to do is show me, teach me, show me where I've erred. Show me my sin, you know. And if I'm lying to you, it's evident. You've known me all your life. You know everything about me. I'm not running off doing anything in secret. And they're that way, but he constantly is turning back to the Lord. And you're going to see that throughout the book of Job. And the one thing about it is, we get to look at this book and we get to read all the way to the end of it. Job had to live through it. And he lived through it. And you know, he never tried to take his own life. He did plead with God. He said, God, I just wish you'd let me die. just take me home, I'm tired, I hurt. But he never said, I'm gonna take this matter in my hand, I'm not gonna live anymore. No, he still was trusting God, wasn't he? He still walked with God. This is an amazing thing. Job has an understanding of God that a lot of people don't have. They understand that God, he understands that God's in control. He understands that he's hurting. He's human. He's frail. He's feeble. He's all those things. But he never gives up on his faith. He never stops trusting God. He never stops seeking God. He never stops asking for answers. Where we get in trouble is not that we have problems come. It's we let those problems turn us away from seeking after the Lord. That's, by the way, the only way you're going to ever get through a trial or a tribulation or anything is by your faith in God. Do you know anybody in the Bible that went through trials and tribulations that got through it and stayed godly when they gave up on God? You won't find it. You won't find it. And Job is an example of God's mercy and grace, but he's also an example of living by faith through the worst of the trials. And we've got Paul, and we've got Peter, and we've got so many others that we can look up. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and look at the people that are mentioned there. And the amazing thing is we see Job here, and he's living by faith. I mean, Job is one of the people that's mentioned in the Bible in concert with Noah and Daniel. That's good company, don't you think? And why is he mentioned there? Because, not just because of the righteousness he did before all this trouble came, it's for the righteousness and the faith he showed while he was in that trouble. So I just want you to think about that. Maybe you know somebody's going through a bad time. Maybe you need to think about it, and maybe it's you going through a bad time. Maybe you're ready to quit on God. Don't. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Pour out your heart to God. Pour out your burden. God's big enough to handle it. He's big enough. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the service today. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for each one that's here. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to learn from this, especially as we go forward in it, Lord. You'd help us to learn, help us to grow, help us to see what we need to see. Help us, Father, to trust you no matter what. No matter what the world or the devil throws at us, no matter how frail we are, help us to just constantly seek to you. Lord, we just thank you for loving us the way you do, and we're thankful that we have this book that we can look at and study and learn, and we can see, get a glimpse of a man who could not see, but we get to see beyond what he could see. And Lord, so that we, through comfort and patience of the Scriptures, might have hope. Or patience and comfort of the Scriptures, I should say, might have hope. Lord, help us to that end, to just trust your Word. Help us to seek you even when we don't understand. Help us to stand and live by faith. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.